Hello and welcome to the Thursday, April 4th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Stumps and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Well, let's start with diaries. Earlier today, I wrote a quick diary about the range header in HTTP. This is actually an issue that I came across when I was working on a script to better deliver this podcast. And it turns out that in particular, some of the podcast software is quite picky about how you deal with this particular HTTP feature. It is really made for large downloads where a client may receive only a partial download and then needs to retrieve the other parts without having to start all over again. In this case, the client can send a range header telling the server what range of the response to actually send back. Where it gets a little bit tricky is how server and client actually figure out that they support and want a range requests. Initially, I thought it was really just optional because the way the RFC read to me was that if the server doesn't send the accept ranges header, then the client, shouldn't use it. But that's not really true. Turns out that the client may very well just try to use the range header, and then the server should respond with the appropriate partial response. From a security point of view, of course, that opens you now up to requesting small pieces of a page that you would like to exfiltrate from an organization. So, for example, you may reduce the overall data volume that's being transmitted by only retrieving the parts that you're interested in. And then, of course, you could also split up the data retrieval among different requests, even sort of interleave them with each other. That makes it then a lot harder for any kind of IDS or data leakage protection device to actually discover what you're trying to exfiltrate. So then the question, of course, is what to do about it. And one option, of course, would be to block these range requests. Some people started doing that. In particular, last year, there was a denial of service attack against Apache and linked to these range requests, where an attacker would request multiple ranges at the same time, which is actually legal, but the way Apache processed that was very inefficient. Well, based on what I have seen so far after looking into it, I would advise against just turning off these range requests. Certain clients do appear to require them and will not be able to retrieve the content if your server is not properly supporting range requests. So it's certainly something to keep in mind. Well, then we have some news and new controversy about the new top-level domain. There are about 2,000 applied for new top-level domains, and there will be a ceremony held by ICANN on April 23rd to officially roll them out. However, at that point, they will actually not be available. None of the top-level domains is ready at that point to actually be made live, and there are a number of sort of implementation and security issues that are being discussed when it comes to these new domains. One of the problems PayPal, for example, pointed out is that many organizations use their own top-level domain internally, and it could become a problem for these organizations if these internal top-level domains all of a sudden become global, routable, global, valid top-level domains. PayPal did list a number of them in their letter to ICANN. Some of them are, of course, obvious, like .internal, but then there are also top-level domains like, for example, .belkin, which apparently is being used by a lot of Belkin routers as a default domain. And then there's also .wpad, which, for example, is used for browser proxy auto configuration, and a number of domains like that. Actually, PayPal is saying that 10% of the traffic to the root name servers is related to these invalid internal top-level domains, and that's the traffic only that is being sent to these servers while these hosts are outside of a network that does support them. So the actual usage is actually much higher than 10%. Then about a year ago, we had the flashback virus infecting about 500,000 different Macs, and it was to date probably the most widespread and also the most advanced Mac malware that we have seen. Now, Brian Krebs has a nice follow-up on this in his blog, including identifying a possible creator of this piece of malware, who's going by the handle of Marvuk, is claiming a credit for creating Flashback. And if you're running Sophos's web appliance, time to upgrade. Sophos released an update that fixes a vulnerability that does allow unauthenticated access to the appliance, including the retrieval of content and files from the appliance, like passwords and session IDs. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.